So I'm very fond of this parsha because it was the parsha I preached, if I recall correctly, when I came to interview, 8 years ago. And I have a very, very clear recollection of the first time I met Marilyn Presser. I believe it was Friday night. She came to pick me up for Kabbalat Shabbat services. It may have been Saturday night at the Merritt Singer's house. We were standing in their foyer. I believe it had not been long since your husband had died. And I noticed that you were still in grief, as we all are. Grief never really ends. And I think I said, or you said, do you want a hug? And we hugged. And I've always been inordinately fond of Marilyn. It's unwise for a rabbi to have a favorite congregant. I have many favorite congregants, but I think Marilyn was my first chronologically favorite congregant. So then you were only 2 years younger, because it was 8 years ago, so you were 2 years younger. It had been two February 29th intervening. And just this week, you turned 90 in calendar years. Revolutions of the earth around the sun. And that is a wonderful moment to celebrate. And Karen and I and a congregant who knew you in your youth were all talking about how beautiful you are inside and out. And I want to talk about Marilyn, particularly because it's her birthday, but also the way that Marilyn is a paradigm of a Jew and a paradigm of our community and a paragon for us to aspire to. So in the construction of the Mishkan and the construction of the tabernacle that would be the blueprint for the temple in Jerusalem, we're told that the artisans had chokhmat lev, and they were chacham lev. I just want to make sure it wasn't this microphone. They were wise of heart. And the Likutei Halachot, which is a collection of Breslov Hasidic teachings, notes that the seat of wisdom would normally be the brain, or in the ancient world it was the kidneys, oddly enough. But there was a wisdom whose foundation is the heart, and that is more difficult and greater in importance. As Heschel said, when I was young, I admired smart people, and as I have aged, I admire kind people. And Marilyn has both. And one of the sages in the 19th century offers, one of our rabbis in 19th century Russia, Rabbi Aaron of Karlin, says that wisdom without the heart is useless. And one of my colleagues at our ordination said that Torah without love is archaeology. So everything we do, if it's not suffused with and measured out in love, it's just raw intellectualism. And Marilyn is smart and wise, but it always comes from a loving place, a sincere and profound place, a deep and loving place, a place of caring for our community, of caring for her family, of caring for me as a rabbi, of caring for her loved ones and friends. If you could have been there Wednesday, you know, I'll say this frankly, and this will sound crass or coarse, but as people age, there are fewer people to celebrate them. A lot of their peers have died. So 90-year-olds often have poo-poo, small funerals, because their friends are no longer living, and those who have preceded them, there are many who have preceded them in death. That room was full. That lunch was full, which is in some ways a measure of the success of someone's life. Not the only measure, but it was full. And I wish as individuals and as communities that we generate the kind of shleimut, the kind of wholeness, the kind of welfare in others that leads them to want to celebrate with us, to want to honor us, and to want to be a part of our lives. In this week's parasha, the Me'ah Shiloach, the Ishbitzer Rebbe, I believe the 18th century, says that stubbornness is a good attitude, good attribute, if used to serve good. I don't know if I should say this, but I think we know that Marilyn can be stubborn. I Thank you. I'll let Irwin say it. I'll let Irwin say it. You know, a rabbi should never say anything to the discredit of a congregant, but it's nice when someone else helps me out. So. But it's always to the good, you know. It's like being in an African American church. I got people like praising along. Say it, preacher. So that's the trick. That's the trick. You know, that's the behavior we wish to see, for example, on our board, is people with sharp ideas, willingness to contest each other, but doing it out of a place of love and compassion and passion. That's what you hope for in synagogue leadership, in synagogue life, in interpersonal life, that people will love you enough to challenge you. And there are people in this room, several people, but who, from things as small as it's too cold, to things like you mishandled your visit to me, to beyond, that challenge me and us to be better. And that kind of stubbornness is vital in Judaism and in synagogues, in our political and civic world, and in families, and just to be a better person. We wouldn't become better people if no one pointed out the mistakes we make, some of which we see and are embarrassed by, and some of which we miss and don't know how to correct. Another thing, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but it is a piece of who Marilyn is and a piece of the real world, is that you've experienced tragedy and suffering and challenge, burying a child and two husbands, and I'm sure other griefs that were smaller or different. And you were, I guess, bowed when I met you, but you have remained in your life unbowed. It's not easy. It's easy to collapse under the weight of suffering. It's either easy to give up and become a cynic or a misanthrope. I've never experienced that from you. And I want to remind you of something, and remind us all. There's a few passages in our sages that remind us of this. So there is, the molten calf is made this week in the parasha, and it is considered the paradigm of Israelite transgression, the most wrong thing that they could have done and that they do. And our sages in the Talmud say that every misfortune that occurs to us has some element of that original tragedy in it, that original transgression, which is partly to say that misfortune isn't ours to own. We suffer, therefore we think, said Proust. But there's no cause to suffering. It's sometimes just random probability. And we shouldn't understand it as punishment or disgrace or shame. But if we're wise, we learn from it. Ecclesiastes says that much wisdom comes through grief. So to return to the Chochmat Lev, the wisdom of the heart that Marilyn possesses, I imagine it comes through life experiences, both good and bad. And that's something we should all embrace. That life, if God willing, we are blessed to live to 120 or even to 90, we will certainly not lack for suffering and challenge and difficulty. And we will, God willing, not lack for joy and celebration. And from each and every one of these experiences, we can learn. We can become better and stronger and more giving people and more assured in ourselves and more self-aware. That's the gift of age and wisdom, but a gift that you surely possess. So here are my blessings to you, but blessings for all as we age. Where's Jean? Jean, aging is like toilet paper. It goes faster the closer you get to the end of it. And, it's age is like cheap underwear. It creeps up on you. It's his. You got to quote Gene Rosenberg. A quick quote, Gene Rosenberg. So, what are the blessings of growing as a community, of maturing together? It's certainly my wish that you live to 120 and we live another 30 years together, because I have no idea what I would do without you. So, as Woody Allen said, you know, I don't care about immortality for my art. I'd rather just live forever. That not being an actual option, I want to wish you and all of us blessings as we age, and we age every day, even though some of us still think I'm boy rabbi. So the Chatam Sofer, in his commentary to this week's parasha, notices that God's ways and the ways in which God manages creation are only perceived and recognized after the acts. not as they are occurring. So my hope for all of us is that in the events of our lives, in the epiphanies and joys and tragedies and sorrows and excitements and anxieties of our life, at least in retrospect, we recognize the hand of God. Now, Einstein is apocryphally to have said that one can view everything as coincidence or nothing as coincidence, and that God's miracles, miracles are God's way of concealing God's presence. Now, coincidence is God's way of concealing God's presence. I love having you here. I have a quote book, but you can't use it on Shabbat. It's on the computer. And now it's like 200 pages long, so I could just pause in the middle of a sermon and look it up. But it would, thank you. Thank you, Miriam Google Weinstein. So bless you. So I want to offer a couple more blessings to Marilyn, to us all. There is this weird phrase, when this is the parsha where Moshe asks to see God's face, and God says, "You'll only see my backside. You can hide in this cleft. I'll pass by you." And God says, "V'hanochi asher achon v'richamti asher arachem." And I want to translate it awkwardly. "I will give grace to those upon whom I am gracious, and I will be merciful upon those I mercy." God show you grace. God show us all grace and mercy. And Moshe comes down with the horns of light, hence Michelangelo's defaming portrait of Jews and Moshe as having horns. But really, it's rays of light is the way it's understood idiomatically, that you should be illuminated by God. And that for all of us, there are a couple of blessings that Marilyn brings us that we would do wise to imitate. We talk about the Mishkan, the tabernacle, as having braiding and loops joined to clasps. And the Hasidic masters, when they talk about the poll tax, so to speak, of this week's parasha, where everyone contributes a half silver shekel, the Hasidic masters ask, why not a whole silver shekel? And probably the answer was because it was too expensive. But the symbolic meaning, they say, is to teach us that no one is a complete entity unto himself. No man is an island. Only by joining with another can one become a whole thing. Marilyn is a glue. She's a braid for our chalot. She is a compassionate resource to connect us. May we all see a future synagogue where that is in all of our lives. And may we all stand in the stead of and on the shoulders of those who preceded us in wisdom, in stubbornness, in kind-heartedness, in experience. So Moshe, God wants to destroy the people of Israel and start again with Moses. So Moses says, you know, a three-legged stool didn't do any good. It wasn't enough. How would a one-legged stool stand? Meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the ancestors to us all. And if we were to erase that history and only have Moses, it's not enough. That goes to a concept that our sages call zchut avot, the merit of our ancestors. That much of what we receive is just a grace from those who preceded us. Like I said, I have no idea what my career, my life here would be like without Marilyn Presser, but I do know that I will carry her with me always. And as John Quincy Adams said, the influence of each person on this life, on others in this life, is a kind of immortality. I know I stand on your shoulders. I know we live through the zchut avot of those who preceded us, those who are on those walls of presidents and board chairs and sisterhood leaders, that through their merit, this synagogue exists. And the people brought gifts for the tabernacle, and they nasalibo, their hearts lifted to bring the gifts. And our tradition teaches us that they brought their own heart. They brought of their heart, and as they lifted, so they too were lifted. Thank you for lifting me up. Thank you for lifting us up. May we all experience the joy of wisdom and age, and stubbornness, and courage, and God's grace in our lives, and may the gifts we give lift us up as well. Shabbat shalom, and thank you for everything you do for us.